Our scripture today is taken from the 9th chapter of Luke, verses 28 through 37. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met them.
Today, as Walt told you, is Transfiguration Sunday, the last Sunday before the beginning of Lent. Did you know that Sundays are not included in Lent? This passage begins with the words, "About 8 days after these sayings." Exactly what were the sayings to which Luke refers? Something like this: if anyone would follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. That was right after Peter's confession, "You are the Christ of God." So Peter and James and John, his closest companions, went with Jesus up on the mountain to pray. Do you know we know more about the prayer life of Jesus than any other of his activities in Scripture? There is more written about his prayer life. Exactly, what is prayer? Give me a good working definition. Well, I mean, we know what it means, but if someone came along who had never heard the word or the concept, what would you tell them?
Sharing
your spirit, talking to God, communing, listening. Yeah. Placing yourself before God and opening yourself to God's input. There is a new term that describes an old state of being, and it's called flow, being in the flow. I came upon an unbelievable book, and I recommend it to you. It's called Stealing Fire. The subtitle is How Silicon Valley, the Navy SEALs, and maverick scientists are revolutionizing the way we live and work. It is absolutely fascinating. Another word for flow, as they use it, might be ecstasis. What does that word remind you of? ecstasy, ecstatic. Yeah. When we think of ecstatic religion, what do we normally think of? Oh, come on, be honest. Yeah. Yeah. Not kiddingly, said at Taylor Lake we had rules for charismatics. You had to sit in the back row. You could raise your hands, but you couldn't fall down. Well, of course, I was being facetious. But we like it. There are some of you who are more into ecstasis religion than others of you in here. That's what makes us such wonderful disciples, isn't it? But here is what flow is all about. There is an acronym for it called STIR. When you are in flow, there is a sense of selflessness. You sort of lose your notion of being all about you. Okay? There is a sense of timelessness. Time just seems to stop. There is a sense of effortlessness. You don't try to think a problem through. You just open yourself up. And finally, there is a sense of richness. Everything, all the textures, all the colors are deeper and brighter and more meaningful to you. Does that sound like an experience you've never had and never could hope to have? Some of you might say yes, but I would say you've already had those experiences. You know that there are times in your life and used to a long time ago. When I was 30 and Wilkerson was 35. I always try to get that in there, Glenn. Yeah. And I think I was a serious runner. And I trained for short triathlons and 10Ks and 20Ks. And I never won one. I never came in with the winning pack, but I could run a long ways at a pretty good pace. And at the end of those runs, I was in what the common term was runner's high. Reading this book, that's exactly where I was, in flow. There was a sense of timelessness, effortlessness, selflessness, and richness. Now, though, in order to attain the same degree of flow, all I have to do is walk 3 miles in my neighborhood. And when I stumble onto the patio and fall in my chair, I get that same sense of timelessness, effortlessness, selflessness, and richness. That's what flow is. The reason monks go off and meditate for years is to reach that state. This book is saying that with our technology is that we're short-circuiting the distance that it takes to reach that state. And that pretty soon flow can be a bigger part of our lives. The Navy SEALs in their training, they don't call it that, but what they do, and these scientists discovered, is that all of their the training that I can't begin to even imagine brings them together as a unit group and establishes this flow. So when they go out on a mission, it's timeless, effortless. They don't have to think it through. It's so rich. They accomplish their mission, maybe 12 guys as one unit in this flow. I think it was like that for Jesus and Peter and James and John that day. As Jesus is praying, the appearance of his countenance changed. Now, how would we know that? How would we know that his countenance changed? How did Luke find that out? Luke wasn't there. At that moment, he did not even know about Jesus. How do we know that his countenance changed? Peter, James, and John reported it, right? His countenance changed. His clothes became dazzling white. They were in such a timeless, effortless richness of state that they experienced Jesus in a way that they never had before. Now you may say, are you trying to take away the spiritual aspect? No. The very spiritual aspect may be a result of being in that state. That state may be a spiritual gift. As Jesus was praying, the appearance of his countenance was changed. His clothes became dazzling white. There's a Hebrew word that, and I use it in another sermon months ago, and I'm sure you remember it. Maybe it was years ago. Maybe I never used it here. Okay. And that Hebrew word is Shekinah. Have I given you that word before? Shekinah. And it literally means the presence of God that shows on a person. When Moses came, and in fact, I think it was in that instance that I gave you that word. I was telling you about Moses and him coming down off the mountain. He was full of God's presence, and it shone. Remember, Moses was so dazzling they couldn't look at him. His Shekinah, he glowed white with the presence of God. And two men appeared with Jesus on the mountain that day with Peter, James, and John. Moses and Elijah. What did they represent? Moses. What did Moses bring down off the mountain? The law. The Torah. The law. What would Elijah represent? The prophets. So here were the two cornerstones of the Israelite faith there on the mountain with Jesus and Peter and James and John. The cornerstones of their faith, and they talked with Jesus according to what Peter, James, and John represented later about what was to be accomplished in Jerusalem. Jesus was the fulfillment of both what Moses and Elijah represented. He was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And then Peter, James, and John had what they thought was a great idea. Let's stay up here. Let's stay up here on the mountain. We will build three booths. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. That'll be one wing. Then we'll build a fellowship hall. We will build some classrooms and a sanctuary. And we can just stay up here. We don't have to bother ourselves down there. Even better still, let's build a monastery. We will just devote ourselves to prayer. Let's stay up here on the mountain. The air is so cool and fresh.
Oxygen.
Oh, yes, Isaac, was not enough oxygen. They would have been safe, would they not? They would have been safe. Jesus could have been the holy man who everyone climbed the mountain to see and learn from. He could have done that. And then they would have dissolved into history, not even a footnote. But they heard a voice out of their sleepiness, they heard a voice, and that voice was the very voice of God. And what did it tell them to do? Listen to my kid. This is my son. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. Moses, Elijah gone. Their moment of flow, of that ecstasis, of that unbelievable, timeless, effortless, richness moment was gone, and there was Jesus alone. The church is not about buildings. The church is not about programs. The church is not about neat new websites or Facebook pages. When we finally come to our senses and listen, as Peter, James, and John did, it is all about Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus led Peter and James and John down from the mountain. And he healed some folks. And he taught some lessons. And he touched some children. And he rebuked his disciples on occasion. And they began to plan his final trip to Jerusalem. And we will take that trip with them in the next 6 weeks. Amen.